You are listening to Let's Get Metaphysical. This podcast explores the spiritual and metaphysical world through the experiences and opinions of the host and those interviewed. It should not necessarily be seen as direct endorsement or personal advice to our listeners. We encourage you to use your own discernment, judgment, and intuition regarding anything you learn from this show.
Let's get metaphysical.
Welcome to Let's Get Metaphysical, the podcast that explores the intersections of science and spirituality. I'm your host, Renata Maniacci, and I'm here to help you remember why you came here. You are a spiritual being, having a temporary human experience here on lovely planet Earth. And there is a massive shift in consciousness going on right now that you signed up to be here for. And don't you forget it. As always, I encourage you to think, feel, and know the truth for yourself. Take what resonates and leave the rest. The Great Awakening happening is multifaceted and many layered. There are spiritual truths which are now allowed to be revealed for the first time, and there are dark truths that have been hidden from us for eons that are now coming into the light. I am interested in the truth, and if you are too, I urge you, especially now, do your own research. Understand that there is more going on here than meets the eye, both on the spiritual levels and the material earthly levels. This is Season 5, The Great Awakening. In this season, we are focusing on the massive shift in consciousness currently happening on planet Earth. My guest today is Justin Fairman. Justin and I met last year in Barcelona at the Holistic Vision Symposium, and I feel like he fits right in with the flow of this podcast. Justin is an international speaker, serial entrepreneur, and consciousness researcher working to create large-scale shifts in human consciousness and deliver solutions-focused media to a global audience. He is the co-founder of Conscious Lifestyle Magazine and the Flow Consciousness Institute, and a sought-after teacher known for his pioneering work in the area of flow and the mechanics of consciousness. He has a diverse entrepreneurial background that includes pioneering exponential growth at green tech companies and building some of the world's top conscious media publishing platforms. His current work is largely focused on creating disruptive, paradigm-shifting technologies and teaching platforms that integrate the best of both scientific and transpersonal insights into the nature of reality and human consciousness, with the end goal of helping people to create socially impactful, deeply fulfilling, and prosperous lives and businesses. His work has been covered in Forbes and Fast Company, and he holds talks, trainings, and workshops on the art of living in flow consciousness, merging intuition and business, and conducting deep research into the practical applications of consciousness-enhancing psycho-spiritual technologies. Learn more about Justin at justinfairman.com and flowconsciousnessinstitute.com. So with that, let's jump right into the interview. Are you ready? Let's get meta. I want to welcome Justin Fairman to the show. Justin, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm great. Glad to be here.
Excellent. So, you know, I ask my guests all, I start with the same question, especially if they haven't been on the podcast yet. If you would like to start this conversation with sharing a spiritual or metaphysical experience that you've had, I'm sure our listeners would love to hear about it.
You know, it's an interesting question because even though I definitely like spend a lot of time in the spiritual and metaphysical space, like to me, it's like such a nebulous concept. Like the way I think about spiritual and metaphysical experience for me is really when I'm in these kind of expanded states of consciousness or deep inspiration or really in a highly intuitive place. So I have a lot of those all the time, but I think for me, some of the most profound ones are, I guess, really when I'm coming out of like the dream state into waking consciousness, and you're kind of in this liminal space where you have one foot in each world. And I find that, you know, those to be really profound, and I get a lot of inspired things come through, like poems or deep insights that later turn into posts or you know, what I consider to be like some of the core work that I do here in the world. So that space is really delicious for me. And I guess that's, it's kind of like my point of maximum metaphysics or something like that.
That's awesome. Do you have a specific moment that you want to share that you like got a poem or something? I love that.
You know what? Actually, you're reminding me of something now as I talk about this. I don't know if you've heard of this, but I have a Shakti mat. Do you know what that is?
No, can you explain?
Yeah, so Shakti mat is basically, it's this really awesome, you know, kind of healing tool that I picked up many, many years ago. It's basically supposed to be like an Indian bed of nails. So I don't know if you've ever seen those, and like, you know, they kind of...
I've seen them,
Yeah. So everyone thinks that they're kind of just like this circus trick, but actually like yogis would lay on them and it would stimulate all these acupressure points throughout their body, especially, you know, on the back of their body, on their back. They would go into altered states of consciousness and do what one does in those places. And so I lay on that every night. It's really great for, you know, relaxing your muscles, but it also totally sends you into, you know, these altered states of consciousness. And one time when I was on it, I literally like had an entire symphony. My mind was playing an entire symphony, like every single instrument. Like, and this sounds kind of, you know, there's no way to prove it, but like, this was like as good as like a Beethoven or Mozart symphony. I was like literally playing every instrument with my mind at the same time. It was so incredible. And I was like, God, I wish I had a multidimensional like sound recorder so I could capture this, because if I could, it would be like this famous symphony. And then the second I like had that thought, I like popped out of the state and it was gone just as soon as it had come. But that was pretty incredible. And to this day, it's like, still gives me the chills.
I love it. So do you feel like you have those experiences, those downloads while you're on this Shakti mat mostly?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's kind of like akin to what I'm saying with like the dream and waking state. It's like, you know, you get deep enough in a meditation, or like you're in, you know, a flow state strong enough in your just day-to-day life, and you kind of pop into these states where just like you go like superhuman, and you access all these capacities that you have that come through, and just incredible stuff happens. You know, like my best work has come through in those moments, and just like the best ideas I've ever had, and just everything, like the insights are just incredible, you know? Wow. So. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just wrote down Shakti mat, so I'm definitely going to look that up.
Definitely get one. For anyone listening, get a Shakti mat. They're worth their weight in gold. These things are incredible. Yeah.
I'm down. And I'm one of those people that like, I have prioritized comfortable and healthy lengths of sleep my whole life. So I'm good with anything having to do with like promoting good sleep and good like downloads like that. I don't usually do this, but you just reminded me of something that happened in that space that I kind of want to tell you about. Like, I think it was about 10 years ago. I was living in Dakar, Senegal, and I kind of forgot this experience until you were talking, because I usually get my downloads in the shower. I get a lot of, I mean, when I'm meditating, that's fine, but in water, right? Like it's something about the water and clearing out your crown chakra or something like that. And I get a lot of, I get my musical songs. Like I'm kind of writing a musical right now. And like, I'll get like that kind of stuff. But you just reminded me that one time in that sleep space, like right before waking up, I had a full on download and dream about Harry Potter and Voldemort, but it was like the last scene of the whole thing when they're in the Great Hall, like doing the final battle, except that it was a musical and it was like perfect. Like the words, the songs, the everything, it was like absolutely perfect. I don't know why everything's musicals with me, but like I woke up being like, this is brilliant, you know? And like, you can't hang on to it. Like I couldn't hang on to like even how that happened. It was like nuts. So thank you for like sharing that. And that's brilliant. I want to explore that more for sure. Definitely going to check out what a Shakti mat is. I really appreciate your share there. That's awesome.
Yeah. No problem.
So let's go into, you know, what I've been talking about on the show all season, which is this great shift in consciousness that we're going through. A lot of folks are calling it the Great Awakening. That's the title of this season. And I want to ask you, what is your take, Justin, on what's going on in the world right now? And you can take that, you know, wherever you're at.
Yeah, definitely. Well, there's a lot going on right now on a lot of different levels, you know, and I get asked this question a lot, and, you know, I'm always like trying to like tailor it to where people are at, because there's so many different aspects of what's happening. I think that humanity tends to not change proactively, but generally speaking, now individuals, obviously this is different, but as a whole, like humanity tends to just like get into these safety comfort zones, you know, these false feelings of safety, I suppose, and these comfort zones, and just kind of wait until things get bad enough before it changes. And I think that the situation on the planet, on a metaphysical perspective, was such that, like, we've been urgently needing to make changes in how we're operating. And for whatever reason, we could not just get it together collectively and agree and come together as a unified organism to basically, like, do what needed to be done. And so to me, the virus represents, among other things that are happening, the virus represents, like, the hand of nature guiding us towards the path that we really need to be on, which is that, hey, let me give that context too. So when I say it's the hand of nature, I mean in part that nature has an imbalance. It has corrective mechanisms to bring it back into balance. And as a species, as humans, as a species, I think we've gotten way out of balance with nature. So this is part of the corrective mechanism to help bring us back. But from a metaphysical perspective, the virus has the effect of showing us that we can change our ways very rapidly if there's a powerful enough catalyst to do it. You know, I got a degree in environmental science, so I've been in that space and been paying attention to, you know, the dialogue around climate change and global warming and all that stuff, and, you know, and pollution and and microplastics and all these different things. And it's like, you know, governments and people were trying to make agreements to try and maybe kind of do it by 2050 if we're lucky and everyone agrees. And it's ridiculous, you know, it's ridiculous. People are just resisting the changes that need to happen. And then here comes the virus, and all of a sudden it's like, guess what? We could stop everything in a half instant. So all these behaviors that we had that we didn't think that we could stop, or that we're going to take forever to get everyone in agreement, like, suddenly we've been shown that if there's the right impetus and if the incentives are correct and, you know, and the existential risks are high enough, we can turn the ship on a dime. And so I think that, you know, we can learn, we can take the silver lining of what's happening and look and say, like, hey, we just stopped the global economy. We just stopped, you know, going out. We just stopped all these things. What if we just stopped, you know, buying products that are made from fossil fuels? What if we stopped, you know, doing this? And what if we started doing that thing, and we could really, you know, change the course of history in an instant? So I think that's a really beautiful thing. And I'll say one last thing too. I think we're also entering what I would call a peak duality. I've been talking about this for a little while, and it's this idea that there's two different timelines that are diverging. For anybody that's has the ability to go meta and really, like, look at the big picture of what's happening, you basically have one timeline. People are essentially wanting to, like, continue. There's a subset of people that are happy or fine with how things are on the planet, and, or, you know, you can say that they're asleep or whatever, and they're totally fine with, you know, staying and operating in the cultural technological matrix that's here on the planet, and they're fine with continuing that. And then there's a subset of people are like, hey, we're not cool with all this super invasive AI technology. We actually want, you know, to double down on regenerative farming. We want to create more of kind of a holistic, integrated, nature integrated utopia, or something on that wavelength, or an enlightened society or whatever. We really want to do that. And there's this divergence where people are basically, some people are, you know, thinking we're headed straight towards Blade Runner future. And other people are like, no, we're coming into a golden age of consciousness. And both of those realities are, like, clashing right now. And kind of competing with each other to some degree as to, like, where are we going to land collectively with our vision for the planet? And maybe these realities can exist simultaneously. I don't know. And so I can see this great divergence happening too. And that's part of the reason why people are fighting and arguing so much, because reality, you know, is so subjective in a lot of ways. And there's a lot of different versions happening right now. So we're kind of in this metamorphosis where everything I just talked about is all happening at the same time, and something different is going to get spit out the other end than where we previously were.
Totally. No, I love that. So where are you? Are you at Blade Runner, or are you at Golden Age, or, like, where in between? And then, like, how does what you're doing in the world right now fit into that?
I'm definitely choosing Golden Age, even though I like the Blade Runner movie, you know, and there's just something about sci-fi that's just so fascinating, but I definitely don't, you know, I don't think that that's really the ideal way to go about living on this planet. You know, it's just not the right way to do it. So I'm choosing Golden Age timeline. Not to say that there won't be technology involved, but, you know, hopefully it's more integrated. I've been thinking about a lot of these things for a really long time, because when I was a little kid, I knew, you know, when I was, like, 5 or 6 years old, I knew that we were, like, way out of balance with the planet, and that I could just see obvious problems in how we were living. And so I've been thinking about this for, like, 30 years at this point. And, you know, pretty quickly, if you really kind of think about what's happening and really try and understand the forces at work, you eventually come back to the fact that consciousness or perception is really the foundational layer of everything that's happening in reality. And so in that sense, I've always tried to start projects or operate in a way that works at these really leveraged levels, whether that's changing consciousness, changing incentive structures in, you know, our social systems and economic systems, whatever it is. Like, I've always said, like, okay, look, we can just, like with the coronavirus, we can just all get on the same wavelength and decide to do something. And this is a consciousness level shift, then we can do anything we want. And so I think that's one of our greatest leverage points, and where I like to operate from. And what I do is like, hey, how do we go all the way to the first principles, the most leverage points, and come up with solutions there that if we implement them at scale, it changes everything. We don't have to start micromanaging all of these different problems and worry about, you know, how we're going to deal with that specific thing, because we're changing the conditions that it exists in, and that changes it by its very nature.
Wow. Cool. Where are you seeing the consciousness shift? Are you seeing that happening right now in the world? And like, how are up, down, like where are you at right with that?
Yeah, I think we're definitely seeing the consciousness shift. And I think this is what happens when you have like an existential crisis like we're in right now, is that people are confronted with things that they'd rather not look at.
Right.
And whenever that happens, it's a transformational moment. And then consciousness shifts, you know, it forces people to do something different than what they've been doing. So that's the immediate environment with everything that's going on. But if you zoom out a bit, like as someone who's been in, you know, personal development industry, the, you know, working towards creating a shift in consciousness globally, there has absolutely been, you know, a growing awareness and growing shift in consciousness, however you want to label that. I personally see it reflected in things like the growth of the organic industry. You know, it's like, I think it's like $100 billion a year industry at this point, something like that. And it's growing by leaps and bounds. You know, more and more people are waking up, the increasing amount of people meditating, the increasing amount of people aware of what meditation is, increasing amount of people doing yoga. Candidates like Bernie and Marianne Winston and Andrew Yang in the United States, and really progressive candidates around the world and stuff like that. So I think that there's all these representations of it. I mean, if you go back like 50 or 60 years, it was way, 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 way more controlled and in the box and, you know, just very, very limited. But now in the last 10, 20 years, we've really seen a renaissance in consciousness. And it's not just an opinion. It's really been objectively verified with a lot of research. And so I think the pendulum is definitely swinging that way. And I just think that what's happening now is a lot of growing pains, you know, and letting go of old worldviews and different things like that.
Yeah, I have to agree. I feel like it's been going like this. And, you know, I believe that consciousness raises a little, if not a lot, every single day. But like this year, like, I don't know that there has been a year where levels of consciousness have just, I don't want to say skyrocketed, but at least shifted worldwide, no matter where you were. Like if you were at this level, it shifted and it's now different. And I don't know if that's ever happened in such a small period, a small amount of earth time, so to speak.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, to really zoom out, if you, in Hindu philosophy, they talk about the yugic cycles, and the yugas are these great cycles of time. They're approximately like 23 to 26,000 years, and they follow the precession of the equinox. And we just came out of Kali Yuga, or we're coming out of Kali Yuga, which was the lowest point in that cycle. So that's that the great year cycle measures, it's basically tracks golden ages and, you know, dark ages of consciousness. And so we just came out of the dark ages according to the yugic cycles, and are now in an ascending phase for like the next, you know, 10, 13,000 years. So if you believe in that, and, you know, there's evidence to show that it's true, then, you know, we've got all that going for us right now. And so we're definitely in a phase. And this is also interesting too, because it coincided with the completion of the Mayan calendar.
Right. And, I was going to say, there's more things happening all around the world that are like supporting what you're saying right now too, in different traditions, human traditions.
Totally, totally. And, you know, and I found that event was personally an acceleration of time. So for each unit of time, there's twice as much happening now as there was previously. So that cycle completed, and now we went into like, you know, a fractal exponential curve. So now we have like an ascending phase of consciousness in the yugas, plus a doubling of like the amount of information per second at the tail end of the Mayan calendar. And so you basically have this exponential rise in consciousness and everything else, technology as well too, but all of it coming together in this like crazy, you know, parabolic arc.
I love it. I want to go into this a little bit, because like, I think my listeners know this. I'm a golden ager. I think that we're headed for the best of times completely. You brought up time, and I want to just mention that for a second, because for me, like, time has definitely sped up, right? Like, and it's, it, you know, people are like, oh no, you know, when you age, like time goes faster. And when you're a kid, it goes really slow. No, like time has changed. Like it just isn't the same that it was when we were born. Right. Like, totally. Are you experiencing that too?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, this is like kind of at the cutting edge of, you know, what science is able to understand. Then there's like the intuitive metaphysics of it. I mean, I've experienced that. I've talked to a lot of people. I mean, literally there's more happening every year now than there was in like a century before, like literally, like just from a, like a raw, like right. technological, like event, you know, perspective that's happening. And then we know that time is malleable. It's based on our perception. That's something we know from physics and different branches of quantum physics. And so it's like, okay, I'm pretty sure it's speeding up and it's possible. So, you know, and I think anyone can kind of verify that just by reflecting on what's happened, you know?
Totally. So, okay. I want to ask you what you just said. You said we just left the medieval ages, the Middle Ages, and we're going, you know, into the Golden Age. Does the tradition that you're getting that from, do they have a specific year or a specific set of years?
I'm sure that back in the day when this was really, you know, when all this was considered as much of a science as we consider any of the hard sciences now, that they probably had really precise dates for things. I think over time, my understanding is that over time, a lot of that data has been passed down orally or in books, and it's gotten changed and distorted. So now you have, you know, archaeologists and historians and physicists even trying to calculate and astronomers and stuff trying to calculate these dates. And so it depends on who you ask. I've heard people say that, you know, what we call 0 AD, which was the, you know, the death of Jesus, was the date. I've heard people say that it was sometime in literally the Middle Ages, you know, the 1600s. And then I've heard people say that it was December 21st, 2012. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's anyone's guess. I think that there's a nice alignment at the end of the Mayan calendar that does seem kind of cool. And if you look at the arc of things, you know, that there certainly has been like a lot of positive stuff that's happened since then. But either way, it was in the last few hundred or few thousand years. So we're either just kicking off into the next age, which I think is Dwarpa Tritons. Yeah, Sakya Yuga. Yeah, I think it's Dwarpa is the Yuga that we're in now. So think coming into that, we're either a decade in, a few hundred years in, or maybe a couple thousand years in. Either way, like considering that it's like a 10 or 13,000 year cycle, depending on, again, how you calculate it, we're just getting started, you know? So there's still a lot more golden age to come if you want to look at it in that perspective. Like if you think that consciousness is high on this planet now, just wait another few hundred, even few decades or a few thousand years, then it's going to be a whole different picture.
Yeah. And while you were talking, I mean, what was resonating for me or what my intuition was telling me was like, oh yeah, when Jesus died, that was a huge moment. And 2012 at the end of the Mayan calendar was a huge moment. And so like, it was kind of like, yes, yes, yes. Like all of these were huge moments in our evolution and in our timing. And I want to preface this, well, I guess we're in the middle of this conversation now, but like timelines are really, really hard, especially as humans with our brains and the way that we at this moment conceptualize time. I think that's been changing and growing over the past couple of years and couple of decades, but like, as you said, like if you think we're at a high level of consciousness now, just wait, and then we'll be able to actually like in our own bodies in the human form, be able to hopefully conceptualize how multidimensional time is in general, yeah. and be able to accept all of these things that we're talking about right now as not so binary, like we were kind of talking about before, like the dualistic nature of this stuff. So with that in mind and saying that and understanding that timelines are really difficult, I'd love to hear what you think about what you think about is coming. Like, is this, are we going to see this golden age like really play out in our lifetimes? What do you think?
I think that the larger context of what's happening like astronomically and metaphysically, yes. But I think that the speed at which it happens is up to us. You know, there's like, I believe in destiny, not fate. So there is an
ultimate. I'm going to have you explain that one.
Yeah. Okay. So fate is like deterministic, right? It's like predetermined. Like if you have a fate, like it doesn't matter what you do, the same, like you can do anything you want and the same outcome is going to happen. Destiny is saying like, hey, you know, so on some level of your consciousness, this is what you chose to do in this life, but it's totally up to you whether you achieve it or not, or if you transcend it, if you achieve it and then go past it. So it's basically like, it's like the kind of integrated view of like fate, where it's like, hey, we do have free will and choice. Our destiny, our fate is not set, but we do have a destiny. We do have like our highest potential. That's something that's possible, right? That's a potential reality. So I think that, yeah, hopefully that kind of triangulates a little bit. But I think that, yeah, so I think our destiny is to end up in a golden age. But I am, you know, what's unclear is, are we going to go kicking and screaming or dancing and singing? And I think some
depends
of us
on who you
have
talk
chosen.
To.
Yeah, right. And so I think that if we can, you know, if people like you and me and whoever's listening and whoever's inspired to stand up and lead us towards a positive, like non-cataclysmic future does that, like that, every piece of that, like increases the probability that we're going to do that. We're going to end up in a golden age. We're going to do it fast. If people are just, you know, bemoaning what's happening and feeling really overwhelmed and defeated and listening to, you know, all this negative news that's coming out and really getting sucked up in the fear, then that's going to slow it down. So intuitively, my sense is that it's definitely going to be an intense few years. I think that, and that's not necessarily because it's going to be a bad few years. It's just intense in like the metamorphosis of like old structures falling away and people having to face existential fears and, you know, unhealthy systems breaking down that people took safety. And so it's like, it's that kind of change. It's not necessarily cataclysmic change, but it's going to be intense change. And I think that like within the next few years, if we can kind of find our center and really intentionally and consciously come together and choose to operate in a way that puts us on some of these positive timelines, then I think that, yeah, this could be like, okay, a couple years of intensity by 2023, 2024, 2025, like things are looking really good, you know?
I really like what you just said on all of that. Yeah. I love your explanation of destiny and fate a lot. And I completely agree with you in terms of the intensity. I think it's been intense for a few years and it's going to continue to be intense, but you use the word, metamorphosis or metamorphize. And yeah. I mean, the classic example with the caterpillar turning into a butterfly, there's nothing wrong with being in the chrysalis, in the metamorphic field of like that transformation,
right.
It's an ultimately good thing, but it's probably super uncomfortable. And the caterpillar might think that they're dying
before
that the whole thing completes. And then it comes out as this completely transformed being. And I really love what you just said about that. Cause that's a classic example and it's so easy to grasp, but that is what is going on right now. I do feel that.
Yeah, it's easy. When we're talking about it, you're like, oh, yeah. But when you're in it, you're like, oh, my God, it's years and months.
I'm dying.
And,
yeah.
You know, and uncertainty. And it's so it feels nuts to be in the middle of it. You know, when a caterpillar does it, and I don't know how long it takes, but like a couple of days, maybe a couple of weeks or something, right? It seems fast. You know, if that was as quick as it was for us, we'd all be like, oh, that was no big deal. But like in a human scale life, you know, it's much longer than a caterpillar and a butterfly's life. Like that metamorphosis phase could take years, you know? And so you just, but it's helpful, super helpful to ground in that bigger picture. I mean, like the more you go into the bigger picture, like the more like calm and peaceful it becomes. Like the more you zoom into the immediacy of something's uncertain right now, like the more stressful it becomes because you don't understand it in context as much, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, while you were saying that, I was just like, well, to the caterpillar, it probably does feel like a really long time, even if it is only 7 days in like our time, that might be like a really long time for them, for their lifespan. I mean, yeah, it's, and that's kind
totally
of where we're at right now. So I'm totally with you on that. I love it. I want to ask you about flow because I feel like that's kind of your word and that's what you work with. And I want to hear more about it. Tell me where flow fits into all this and how you use that as a concept and as a practice.
Yeah, definitely. So flow is really like kind of, for me, I'll speak for myself because my business partner who runs the Institute with me, Jackie Nechtel, she also has her own experience of it and we kind of joined forces. So I'll speak to my specific journey with it. But for me, flow as we teach it, which is flow consciousness, really, it's a little different than flow state. Similar, there's overlap, but also different. It emerged as like my best thinking and intuiting of like how to navigate reality for, you know, optimal experience, really, right? So in all areas of life, so like happiness, health, wealth, career, relationships, spiritual growth, consciousness, all these different things, like like what first principles and like what way of living, thinking, and operating in reality would produce the most optimal, enjoyable, fulfilling, incredible, you know, spiritually expansive reality. And that's really what flow is. So from how I kind of came into it was, you know, in my own personal journey of awakening and expanding my consciousness and stuff, like I would kind of like pick up these keys along the way. I'm like, okay, this thing is critical, is mission critical to, you know, like living an amazing life or just being happy or whatever it was. And so after 7 or 8 years of pretty intensive, like every waking moment, living and breathing, anything and everything relating to personal development, spiritual growth, consciousness, healing, health, whatever, I had a pretty good collection of these things. And then I, in deep meditative states, what I was talking about before when we first started, you know, coming in and out of dreams and stuff, I would just get these really powerful visions and intuitions about different things that were missing pieces in what I saw out there in the landscape. And it all kind of came together in around like 2012, 2013, that kind of became this coherent body of work came together. I was like, oh, this is like a way of being, this is a stage and state of consciousness that we can access anytime. And so flow really represents that. That's what it is as an experience. And as a practical thing, it's basically a set of principles and different tools and different skills that you have and you learn that allow you to have the experience of flow.
I love it. Because I think that without maybe even having the language to describe that, I think that's what most people are looking for, right?
Yeah, like, totally. It's like, okay, you come into this life, you go to school, you know, maybe if you're lucky, you go to a Waldorf school or something like that, right? But otherwise you go to school and you get taught all of these really bad instructions for how to like navigate this reality successfully. You get taught how to fit into a predefined cultural box. And it's like, I think flow consciousness and the things that make it up is like, this is the tool set that you never got, but that if you had gotten, like your life would be way better. And this is really secretly what everybody should have, you know?
Do you teach kids? Get a school going.
Yeah, we do. I mean, you know, that's more at the cutting edge of our work because we've taught a lot of parents and then like they teach their kids and then they also learn from their kids because their kids oftentimes do this naturally. So a lot of times, I think if we were really teaching kids, it would be less about like teaching them what to do, but just reminding them of like what to keep doing, you know, so they don't forget and that they understand the importance of that as they go out into the world that may not be in flow. And also teaching them how to deal with trauma and limiting beliefs and emotional patterns and emotional wounding as that kind of stuff comes up so that they don't, you know, get that locked into their physiology as a child and then have to deal with it 20 or 30 years later. So it'd be mostly that. But I think the youngest we've worked with is probably like teens, mm-hmm. you know, like early teens. But we want to bring this to schools. Like we absolutely want to have this in schools because that's such a high leverage point. You know, that's one of the highest leverage points. Like business is a super high leverage point. Changing the rules of the economic system we live in is a super high leverage point. And education and vocation are really like the next two highest leverage points. We can like tackle these three or four things. Like we can change everything in a heartbeat, you know?
I totally agree with you. And I want to go into that for a minute, just the education piece. You know, we were talking before about how everything is changing and all these systems, these old programming systems and everything are being destroyed and they're falling. And, you know, I am in an educational, the multidimensional learning group, right? From where we met at Holistic Visions. And like, I am just curious what you see for the world's education or learning systems moving forward, based on everything that we've been talking about and based on what you do and you know.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's a great question. I feel like some of the most important keys to really revamping our education system, because I like to think in principles. Like I think for me, like that's just kind of how I operate. You know, I don't have a background as an educator, so I couldn't tell you all the specifics of how to execute this, but I know that if you put these as your first principles that you'll get, you know, the right results. And so I think that like archetypally we need to really teach people one about healing, like about how their mind works and how their body works and at a really nuanced level, not just like, you know, basic physical education like people get, but like people really need to be learning psychology, not because there's anything like, not because it's better than other disciplines, but everything that we experience happens based on what's going on right here. So if you don't understand how psychology works, if you don't understand how the mind and the body work and the healing work, like you're just already at a disadvantage. So like, people need to be given tools and education to navigate everything that comes up internally. And so psychology, healing, you know, transpersonal psychology, all these different aspects, like we really need like robust education there about how to operate on that level. Beyond that, I would say, obviously, like how we relate interpersonally, and then also developing like different capacities, right? So like kind of a more classical philosophical training where it's like how to think, you know, like how to discern what's true or not for you, and how to like navigate any situation that comes up. And then finally, I think there's a first principle that is really powerful, which is as a design criteria for anything, which is that everything should be designed to create the most health and well-being and thriving for nature and all life, right? So if we use that as like a design criteria or a design principle, then we would also want to teach people like how to live in harmony with the environment, how to navigate nature, and also how to take care of themselves, how to eat properly to maintain health and well-being and all these different things. And so I think that if we did all of that, people would be prepared for this reality versus like being prepared for math and science or whatever. And from that foundational place, you know, if someone's interested in math or science or whatever, they could go do that, but they would be able to approach it in a way where they wouldn't end up creating crazy AIs that destroy the planet. And instead they would create things that are like symbiotic technologies that help humanity and all life to thrive. So it's really that core essence of like, how do we coexist with everything? How do we, you know, navigate reality and flow? And then from there, then stack on whatever specific discipline that you want to learn, you know?
Yeah, no, I love it. And actually, like, if everyone listening can hold that vision and add to it, that would be great, because the education system is going to change. It already has changed. And bringing in something like that is absolutely necessary, I think, for the future of the planet. I almost think that it's preordained in some ways to go like that. I can see, it's interesting, the education and learning systems shift globally is one thing that I can't see exactly. I'm not going to say that I see exactly how all the other things change, but like the changing of the financial system is easier for me to understand and to visualize than the changing of the education system. And the changing of the political system and government systems is easier for me to see. It's just like, I can't see what education, and I say that with quotations because that word is not my favorite word, so learning systems will look like. And I think that that's a really beautiful vision that you just shared. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for the good question.
No, it's great. Is anything else coming up for you, Justin, right now that you feel inspired to share?
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying this a lot lately, and I'm saying it because I think it's the way to go. Well, there's two things. One is that we need to like stop telling a negative story about our future. I think the media is doing a great job of that, and we don't need to add on to any of that by believing it as fact. We are absolutely the creators of our destiny, like as we spoke about before. And so, you know, everyone's like, oh my God, the scientists and the researchers are saying that this is going to keep going on forever and ever. And what's happening is that people are getting programmed on a belief level to generate that reality.
Right.
So to say that we shouldn't take, you know, the things that researchers and experts are saying into consideration. You know, sure, the virus may continue and it may go like they say, but that doesn't mean that we have to be disempowered by it. It means that we can figure out ways to still create the future that we want, even with the virus going there. And maybe there's even better ways to go about dealing with it versus just, you know, masking everyone and making everyone stay at home. What if we, you know, think about how we can strengthen our immune system and develop new technologies that make us immune to the virus that don't include harmful pharmaceuticals and stuff like that. Okay, so that's one thing, right? So I think we really need to spend more time telling an empowering story and thinking about how we can solve for all these challenges that we're facing in a way that allows us to have everything we want at the same time, because they're not mutually exclusive. It's a lot of either or thinking going on in human consciousness, but the reality is that we can have both at the same time. And then beyond that, like, I've spent so much time researching this. I got a degree in environmental science studying how we're destroying the planet. Okay. And like, we can change everything so fast. And one of the most powerful things that anybody can do is to vote with their wallets. you vote for the reality that you want every single time you take out your wallet and make a purchase. Literally, if everybody collectively got together and only started supporting those businesses, those people, those services, buying products that were net positive for the planet and, you know, human consciousness and the environment and so on and so forth, like that would change things so fast. So fast. Like, you know, everyone thinks that the elections are when we choose our president and choose the future. The election happens every single day, and it happens every single time you pull out your credit card or you hit buy online. And so if you just start making choices and investing in the future, if it's more expensive sometimes, for products and services and causes that are actually changing the world, that will move things faster than just about anything else. So I highly encourage people to do that. Put your money where your mouth is, because that's your strongest vote in the capitalistic system.
Thank you. And I just want to double up on staying positive and keeping envisioning the future that we want. And in fact, one thing that I say at the end of every episode since season 5 started, I've always said throughout the podcast, I always end by saying stay meta. And when this season started, I started saying 3 things: stay positive, and something in the middle that I usually change depending on the episode, usually like stay safe or keep awakening or something like that, and stay meta. But it's always stay positive. I've been saying that ever since this season started. And it just, you're validating and reinforcing and reiterating how important that is right now. And I'm so glad that we're on the same wavelength of that right now, because we are creating our own reality. And it's so important to keep creating exactly what we want to create. So thank you so much for saying that.
My pleasure. Thank you.
How can folks contact you if they're interested in learning more about you, Justin?
Yeah. Okay. So 3 ways: personal website, justinfairman.com. That's really going to be the hub where anything and everything that I'm interested in on every wavelength comes together. So if you like what I'm saying, there's going to be more of that and a lot more at that website. Also, Flow Consciousness Institute. That's the home for Flow Consciousness on the internet and everything we do there. So if you're interested in that, check out Flow Consciousness Institute. And then finally, I post a lot of stuff on social media too, usually just like kind of my juiciest insights and ideas. So follow me on social media, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. It's all good.
Awesome. Justin, thank you so much for talking with me today. I really, really appreciate it. This has been awesome.
Yeah, it's been great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely.
A big thank you to our guest today. I'm so happy Justin could talk with us and loved hearing his perspectives. If you are interested in finding out more about him, please check out his websites, justinfairman.com and flowconsciousnessinstitute.com. If you want to hear more from our conversation, check out the bonus content for this episode. We continued our conversation and we talked about how 2020 has been for us. Spoiler alert, it's been a pretty great year for both of us. But what is useful on the bonus content is our speculation about why this year has been good for us and what affects whether or not we've had a great year, a crappy year, or anything in between. To tune into the bonus content, visit patreon.com/up, up, and awaken and become a member of any tier. All tiers get the bonus content. The 4D and 5D tiers get monthly new and full moon live clearings, which are incredibly powerful, if I do say so myself. And the 5D tier has access to all of my awakening courses, including the one I just added for the fall equinox, Energetic Boundary Booster. This is a course that gives you practical tools to booster your boundaries and burn up anything that isn't serving you. And speaking of courses, it is that time again. Julia Malone and I are running our HIT course, our HIT live course, Exit the Matrix, starting on October 11th, 2020. And if you are hearing this episode after that time, we are most likely still running this course because it is incredibly powerful. So keep listening. Exit the Matrix is a 3-week course that dives deep into deprogramming your mind and becoming a truth magnet. It is incredibly powerful and features several live Zoom calls with us, including 3 major clearings, 3 modules with excellent tools, 3 subconscious clearing processes, 3 live Q&As, and much more. The testimonials we got after the last time we ran this course exceeded even our own high expectations. You will be changed after this course. And if you're interested in learning more about it, visit realizeyourawakening.com to learn more or to sign up. I'm going to leave it there for today. Thank you so much for listening. Stay positive, keep awakening, and stay meta.
The statements and advice offered in this podcast are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or medical condition, and are not substitutes for prudent medical care offered by a licensed medical professional. The Let's Get Metaphysical podcast is an Up, Up, and Awaken production. Our intention is to raise the vibration of the planet by sharing, validating, and normalizing spiritual and metaphysical experiences. The show is produced and hosted by Renata Maniacci, co-creator of Up, Up, and Awaken Productions, a platform devoted to creating conscious content to assist in the awakening currently taking place on this planet. If you want to see more from Up, Up, and Awaken, please subscribe to the Up, Up, and Awaken Productions channel on YouTube. If you're looking for more support in your awakening process, please consider becoming a member of our Up, Up, and Awaken community on Patreon. Patrons in this community both give support to the conscious content that we create, like this podcast, and receive support in their awakening via the community's offerings, including courses, live group healings, and an interactive community. You can join the Up, Up, and Awaken community by visiting patreon.com/upupandawaken. If you know someone who would like this episode, please share it with them. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Give us a 5-star rating or write us a review on your podcast app. To learn more, visit our website at letsgetmeta.com. The Let's Get Meta podcast is almost entirely listener supported. If you love the show and want to support it, you can still become a patron of the podcast at patreon.com/upupandawaken. We appreciate all types of support. It helps keep this show going. Thank you for listening. Stay meta.
Physical.